Good afternoon, my name's Gabrielle Pute and I'm here in Westminster, London, and today I'm joined by Robert Ault, who is one of the directors of the Bruges Group. Good afternoon, Robert.
Hi.
Now, Robert, just for our audience, I know you're a military historian. You're also on the local you're a local government councillor for the London Borough of Hounslow. You're very active in the Conservative Party, and of course you've been a long-time director of the Bruges Group, an organisation opposed to the European Union's encroachment on the sovereignty of European nations. And of course you've just written the book Everything You Wanted to Know About the EU But We're Afraid to Ask, which of course documents the EU's dictatorial powers, which has had a good circulation, I believe, here in the United Kingdom for you. And you're also a regular commentator on the in the media. So, and one of the actual president of the Bruges Group, being Lord Norman Tebbit, he's a senior cabinet minister in the Margaret Thatcher's government and a former chairman of the Conservative Party. He's been very outspoken in his support for Glass-Steagall. Now, to actually rein in the City of London, elements of which have played a leading role in creating the European Union in the first place. So could you give us your thinking on the necessity for Glass-Steagall?
Well, in Britain at the moment, there's a situation where, of course, depositors' money has been put at risk by financial activities that have been done without really people's consent and has been railroaded through. We have a situation where the British government really isn't in control of things. There's international institutions, the European Union being just one of them, but also Basel, the Financial Stability Board, a whole host of global and sub-regional organisations like the European Union that are making decisions which affect our lives, and this really does have to end. And its power isn't actually in the hands of normal people, people who would vote in elections. Often their elections don't make any difference because power has rested with elites who have the political and, of course, the financial control. And we've seen recently, just within a few years, about how the City of London, through making massive losses, put billions at risk and millions were in danger of losing their deposits and had to be rescued at taxpayers' expense. This situation just cannot continue.
Yeah, so obviously Glass-Steagall is the very key piece of legislation that would end that immediately.
Absolutely, that would mean that would make a separation between mad financial speculation, which is not in under the control of ordinary depositors, and protect people's deposits within the banks, which would be safe and would separate the two arms of banking.
Exactly. Now, Robert, and I had the privilege of seeing this about 12 months ago, the Bruges Group made a documentary which featured several prominent Conservative Party MPs, and they were attacking the expansion of the EU and NATO because of it, you know, expanding right onto Russia's borders. Now, you were narrating that video, you yourself sharply warned against this policy, and of course I know you're looking at going back to Ukraine very soon to make another documentary on the same subject. I mean, how do you see the situation there at present?
Well, really, one of the whole issues about the European Union is that it puts big business interests and big financial interests above those in ordinary citizens. That's why we see massively high unemployment across southern Europe, when, of course, indebted nations are still having to hand over money to financial institutions that have recklessly lent them money. And we're seeing this system being expanded right up against the borders of Russia, taking in Ukraine against the strong objections of many people within that country. And there was a democratically elected president who won an election fairly in 2010, the former president Viktor Yanukovych, who was overthrown in what was really a Western-backed putsch, or some describe as a coup, and replaced by a rump that was pro-European Union, pro-United States. And this caused a great deal of divisions within Ukraine and led to a war, effectively, when people rejected the coup government and were then subject to attack from the new authorities that had taken power in Kiev. Yep. We warned that this would happen, and the Western meddling in Ukraine has destabilised that country, created a failed state. Really, a lot of this is to do about isolating Russia. It's not just about the expansion of the European Union and the expansion of Western influence, although that's part of it, but also they want to restrict Russia as an independent voice in the world. Russia has a different vision that isn't subservient to European Union or American-led institutions. It has its own voice on the world, and for some, that can't be tolerated. And Ukraine's neutrality was not tolerated or accepted by the West. So a puppet government, which is in reality is what's running Ukraine at the moment, was put in power. And thousands of people have now lost their lives, and a million people have been forced out of their homes, primarily by the Ukrainian armed forces and various militias. And these people have sought refuge in Russia, which is actually very telling. They're not fleeing the Russians, they're actually fleeing the Ukrainian armed forces and paramilitary organisations, some funded by various oligarchs, and are deeply unsettling people.
Yeah, exactly. And of course, this isolation of Russia is just not Russia on its own, as we know with our own policy in Australia, government's policy in Australia with the targeting of China. Because you yourself, among hundreds of personalities, prominent personalities internationally, have signed a call issued by the Schiller Institute chairman, Mrs. Helga Zepp-LaRouche, and that's entitled, "The US and Europe must have the courage to reject geopolitics and collaborate with the BRICS." And of course, you know, it's that Russia, China, India, Brazil and South Africa that has become a new cultural paradigm that's the threat to Western interests, both in the City of London and in the United Kingdom, of course, Wall Street and America. So since you endorsed the call, Robert, can you elaborate, you know, why you did so?
Well, the isolation of Russia is not just about foreign policy. It's also about protecting American and European-led institutions like the World Bank and the IMF, mm-hmm. both of which have a very bad reputation amongst developing nations. And it's about really accepting that there is a growing world out there. There's growing alternatives to the current sort of, in a sense, failed economic systems put out by the European Union, which has just created massive unemployment, and of course American-led domination, all of which come with very heavy strings attached. If one is going to be close to the United States and organisations such as the World Bank, then often you have to accept American foreign policy. Being close to the European Union means you're tied down to European Union policies, and of course an emerging European Union foreign policy as well, and a defence policy, yeah. which is closely operating with the United States. At times there have been tensions, but usually the European Union and the United States act together on a global stage. Europe and America have basically been stitching things up, such as the leadership of the IMF always goes to a European, and the World Bank always goes to someone from the United States. Been stitching things up for far too long. And one-sided trade deals when practicing protection at home, harming developing nations. But the world is beginning to change. There's much more economic growth now outside of the old European powers, even outside of the United States. There's emerging countries that want to have trade, that want to develop their economies, often though, without strings attached, without the political consequences. One can trade with China without them demanding that you follow their foreign policy. They are not, in a sense, imperialist states, to use old language. They are nations that want to open up their economies, but want our economies to be opened up as well. And there's real opportunities out there. And the world's changing. We need to recognise that. We need to treat these countries as equals and partners. And really, social development, eliminating poverty, will happen through economic growth, and there's much economic growth going on in other parts of the world. Let's engage with that and break free a political change which have tied up independent democratic nation states in large parts of Europe and around the world, and tied up citizens' interests, and put those first, and go out into the world and trade freely.
Exactly, Robert. And I think the more and more here in the United Kingdom that come out in support of the BRICS proposal, you know, because it's a real new paradigm. Do you think that will also help change the attitude that we've seen coming from the United Kingdom, particularly from Cameron, which has been supporting the expansion of NATO onto Russia's borders, that's been, you know, supporting with trainees going into Ukraine? Do you think, is that one of the other reasons that, you know, that you and the Bruges group have made such an emphatic stance to change a certain direction coming from the United Kingdom?
Yeah, the attitude of the United Kingdom as one being subservient to the United States and also European Union interests, and actually been sending weapons to Ukraine, Scorpion armoured personnel carriers. So far they've resulted in the deaths of civilians when they accidentally crashed. And really, these are weapons that will be used on the front line. And David Cameron himself has called for the expansion of the European Union from the Atlantic to the Urals. That is actually deeply insulting to the Russians. This is actually reminiscent of language that was used in the 1930s and the 1940s. I don't know whether David Cameron realises all that or not, but Russia is very worried about its security. It feels bullied by Western nations.
Yep.
Russia has been recently establishing its own Eurasian customs union, yet the United States has been opposed to that because they don't want Russia to have good trade links with other nations, even though other countries within the Commonwealth of Independent States, the former Soviet states, have good trade links with Russia, as most certainly Ukraine did. They don't want those expansions. The United States was even objecting to the development of the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. Yet, of course, these activities should actually be welcomed because this is about a new economic paradigm. It's about economic growth being spread to other regions. Mm-hmm. And just really, the United States and the European Union needs to let go, needs to stop bullying, and needs to allow other countries to fulfil their own destinies and expand their own economies, improve their citizens' lives accordingly, without such strings attached.
Yeah, no, excellent. Thank you. Thank you, Robert. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you, my pleasure.
And we'll look forward to meeting you again in the very near future.
I look forward to it. Thank you.
Thanks.
See you.